Okay, it's not by coincidence that what we've talked about today, a lot of it's right in this chapter. It happens a lot, doesn't it? Okay, I'm going to start out by reading. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, start with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience, my persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue you in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now we'll back up and look at what's going on. Now let's see what he's really saying. He said, this know, that in the final days, not the word last isn't really there, it should be final. In the final days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous here should be difficult. Can anyone agree to that? That times are getting more difficult? Life is getting much more complicated, isn't it? It's not just surviving. It's very, very complicated today. And it's getting worse every day. Second verse goes on to say this. Because humanity shall be lovers of their own selves. Duh. What's the problem with the world today? It's about people being lovers of themselves. And I'm not saying you shouldn't love yourself for who God's created you to be, but I'm talking about lovers of your fleshly self. It's all about me and nobody else, you know. They don't worry about anybody. As long as I make it through, they're not worried about anybody else. It says, lovers of their own selves, covetous. And the covetous literally means they're fond of silver or fond of money. And today the whole society is functioning around what? Money, 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 money for everything. They're boasters or braggarts. The word boaster should be braggarts. They're proud. And I think you could agree with that. Look at the world today. Everybody's got pride in their lives. They're blasphemers. They're disobedient to parents. Look at the whole generation today coming up. They have no respect for their elders, do they? I was coming out the door of McDonald's the other day, and there was another gentleman with me who was kind of handicapped, and me being handicapped, and I'm limping, and this guy's on a cane, and a third guy was with us, was all crippled and doubled over, and there was two young kids coming in, and they were teenagers, and you know, I started to push the door open, and they pushed the door open, and just almost pushed me out of the way to get in. And the two guys behind, we all just had to move out of the way and let them in. And like, they didn't even see us. They didn't have no respect for someone with age on them trying to get around. They just push you out of the way and go on. But I mean, that's normal. Isn't it today? That's just the norm for the day. There's no respect. I mean, I do it to younger people. I'll open the door and let younger people come through. I don't care who it is. I just try to be respectful to everybody. I was taught it as a child. I said disobedient to parents. They're unthankful and they're unholy. these people that are disrespectful. He's talking about people, and you know, he's not talking about worldly people here. He's talking about church folk. I'm going to tell you, I went to a church one time, me and Lois did, and I was treated like a heathen. I mean, like we didn't even know anything about God. We were treated like outsiders, and here we were ministry coming into the place, and they knew it. The pastor that invited us hardly spoke to us. When we got there, I was sitting down, and these people, they had a dinner, and you know, if we have any food or something right here, we usually bring the guests in and put them to the front of the line first. You know, that's just kind of a courteous thing to do. They pushed us to the back of the line, and there was people going back for second and thirds before we ever even got close to the place. There was hardly any food left. And I even sat down to eat, and a woman grabbed them. I had a piece of ham I picked up and was eating with my fingers. She took it out of my mouth, didn't she? She took it out of my mouth, said, "I want to talk to you." And I thought, I never had anyone take food out of my mouth to talk to me before, but you know, but the people were so rude. I just was amazed how rude the people were in the church. And this must be a church function, you know?
How is that supposed to make you feel invited?
We were invited there, and then the pastor invited us, never even said we were visiting ministry or anything. Just never even told anybody we was there. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is, okay? But they're unthankful, they're unholy. Into the third verse, it says, without natural affection. What do you think that means? Without natural affection. Because those aren't the right words. Huh? No. It says they're hard-hearted. See, they don't have compassion for anybody. They're hard-hearted. They're truce breakers, huh? It's still about the self. They're not about anybody else. Anybody's hard-hearted is thinking about themselves. They're truce breakers. What is a truce breaker? Huh? Well, a lot of those aspects there. But covenant breaker. They're non-covenant people, see? And if they were covenant people, all these things wouldn't be said about them, would it? They're false accusers or slanderers. The word false accusers means slanderers. Incontinent. That don't mean they wet themselves. Okay? Well, it kind of does. It means without self-control, but it's not talking about your bodily functions. It's talking about your mind. So they're incontinent. They have no control over their minds. They just let their minds do what they want to. They're fierce. They're despisers of those that are good. They don't like somebody else to be in a better position than them. They're jealous. They're traitors or betrayers. They're heady. What does heady mean? It means reckless. The word that word heady is mistranslation. It should be reckless. They're reckless. That means they do things without thinking about the repercussions of what's going to happen. They just do. You know, they don't think about it. They're high-minded. And what does high-minded mean? Prideful or conceited. Okay? The language literally says conceited. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of doing whatever I want to do. See, it's still in that I world. They're having or possessing a form of godliness. They possess a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From these, turn away or run away. Get away. So, you got to realize there's a lot of people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Now, that's not saying I believe in God, but I don't believe God can do miracles. That's not what we're talking about. When I say denying the power of God, I'm denying the power of God to work in my life to change me. I'm not wanting God to change the way I think because I think my thinking's as good as it gets. Yes, in Isaiah 5, I believe it is. In fact, I'm going to look at that just to make sure. Past it there. No, it's Isaiah 4. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, in that day seven women will take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Yeah, it's Isaiah 4. I was close.
Same thing.
I just had the wrong address there to start with. Verse 6, because of this sort they are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly or foolish women laden with sins, led away with various lusts. Now, what's he talking about when he says, creep into the house and lead them away, silly women? It's talking about here. This is the house. What we live in. Are we not the house of the living God? And this creeps in here and gets us all messed up. It said they're always learning and never able to come to the precise and correct knowledge of the truth. See, there's a lot of knowledge out here, but is it precise and correct? And he uses an example here of Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. And you'd be surprised how much the truth is resisted, especially by religious folk. Men of corrupt minds, they're reprobate, they're worthless concerning the faith, or literally that word faith should be the truth of God. They're worthless concerning the truth of God, because what they know is what? It's an error. It's an error. It's worthless. But they shall proceed, and the word proceed is the word grow, G-R-O-W. But they shall grow no further. Hello, did you hear that? When you resist the truth, right there you stop the flow. Because the truth is not comfortable to the natural person, they usually reject the truth, and they think it should feel good, which is a lie. The truth is the truth, no matter what it does. And they shall proceed or grow no further, because their folly, or their stupidity is what the word says, their stupidity shall be evident to all, as theirs also was. He said, just as evident as Jannes and Jambres was, their folly, their stupidity, so will be the people today who reject the truth, the precise, correct truth. But you have fully known, and the word fully known is not correct. Literally it says, you have followed my doctrine or my instructions, my manner of life, my purpose, my truth of God, my long suffering, my love, and my cheerful endurance. It said, you followed all these things. The persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. How many realms is that? Three of them. Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You know what those three words mean? Antioch means driven against. That's where you start, isn't it? That's your Passover experience. Iconium is image driven. What would that mean to you? Image driven. Okay, image, but idolatry. Okay? Your thoughts is the idolatry that drives you in this Passover and Pentecostal realms. And guess what Lystra means? Ransoming. Ransom. You've been ransomed. There's your deliverance. See, there's your deliverance in Lystra. That's your tabernacle's experience. Just a coincidence, right? What persecutions I endured, but out of all, the Lord delivered me. Out of all. The word them isn't there. It's added. You see it's italicized. And verse 12, here's a good one to remember. It shouldn't say yea, but it should say and, or also, all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It didn't say maybe or might, did it? Said they shall suffer persecution. You got to know if you're going to walk the truth, you're going to suffer persecution. But evil men and deceivers or imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are they going to get any better? The world's not going to get any better. Religion's not going to get any better. The only thing that's going to get better is the sons who listen to the truth. Because the truth will set you free. Right? It will make you freedom. But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing not of, but from whom you have learned them. Knowing who you learned them from. See, now he's not saying, okay, my name's Paul, and you know I am Paul, and I'm the one that told you this. That's a shallow way of understanding what he just said. He said, know from whom you've learned this. It means know the person. Are they a godly person or are they a hypocrite playing the game? Know that person. Know their lifestyle. What are they doing? How are they living? How are they expressing God in their life? That's knowing the person. Not about just saying, well, I know who that man is. And that's what most people do. That's why we have so much trouble in the ministries today of homosexuality, wife abuse, child abuse, pedophilia, all this stuff going on. Because people don't know who the man or woman is in that pulpit, do they? They just know that they're a man that wears robes. Somebody hired them. Nobody knows the person. See, I don't think anybody should hire a preacher until they've been around for a while. They ought to know that person personally, know their lifestyle, be around them. To put them in control of people's lives, That's foolish. That's total foolishness. God never did that. God put you in the Old Testament even. He made a man, he couldn't even begin to be a priest until he was 30 years old. He had to have some life experience. And he couldn't be a high priest till he was 50. They got preachers now 18 years old and younger than that. They have no life experience. They don't have enough common sense to get out of the rain when it rains hard. They're like a bunch of turkeys. They drowned. And people do that just because they've been to a school. School can't teach you about God. The only thing that can teach you about God is your life experience with Him. That's all the thing that can teach you about Him, is have experience with Him. 15. And because from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to, not salvation, but deliverance, through the truth of God. Not faith, but the truth of God. See, me believing that there is a God won't change the way I think, will it? But me knowing the truth of God, guess what? If I know something, the truth will change the way I think, won't it? If I know the way God thinks, if I know the truth of God, which is in Christ, guess what? I'll be changed because I've repented. I've changed the way I think. I'm not the same as I was. He goes on in verse 16 and says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and cross out that next word, may. It's not maybe, it's not may, it's so that the man of God be perfect or complete. The word perfect should be complete. Thoroughly furnished. Those two words should say fully equipped. And you can write a reference down with that. Romans 8:30. It says, if he calls you, he'll equip you. He said, this truth of God is here, and it's for all these purposes in verse 16, that the man of God be complete, fully equipped to all good work. How about that? It's just knowing the truth, and it'll take you to the fullness of God. What was the reason in Ephesians 4 and 11, what was the reason that the gifts was given to man? And what else? Well, you're close. A second, I'm going to read it to you so I get it right. It says, he gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers for the perfecting or equipping, it should say equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the full stature of measure of the full stature of Christ. So it's to bring us up, to grow us up. That's what it's for. He's equipping us to grow us up. Tell me what parent would not want their children to grow up and mature? I know a lot of people would like to keep their kids around their whole life, but that's not healthy, is it? It's not natural. It's unnatural. Kids grow up and become their own families and go on. And you should desire that for your children. And I know God's desire for us is to grow up and to be a mature person in society, a productive person in society, in the kingdom thing. So that's what I'm trying to show you, that God is trying to grow us up. And I'm not going to say that again. I'll rephrase it. He's not trying to grow us up. He's growing us up. He's not trying to do anything. He is doing what he's doing. And it's going to be all right. We don't have to worry about the one world government, because the only government I'm subject to is him. I got no say in it. I got no say whatsoever in it.